Canada is about to burn. They've made some poor decisions recently, specifically with regards to Chinese EVs. And I wanted to bring in my co-host of the China Show, C-Milk, otherwise known as Lau 86, so that we could talk about Canada, talk about Chinese EVs, because there's a lot to cover. So, what do we got up here?
Looks like a car.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've covered this on the show, but when Chinese EVs and Chinese cars have accidents, especially the newer ones, they all have like a reporting system in it. When there's an accident, it'll send off an SOS. You know, you get those. We've had that for years.
Kind of like a black box.
Yeah. You know, like if you had a Mercedes or something like that, OnStar, or, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's been around for a very long time. So these are built into the EVs. So as soon as there's an accident, the actual company gets notified. Oh, one of our cars has been in an accident. And they send the teams out, not to help, but to remove the badges.
I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can see there have been plenty of these incidents caught on camera where immediately after the fire is put out, the guys come out and they either take the badges off, like this guy, he's using a hot air gun to remove the badges, or they chisel them off. And on top of that, they also put car covers over. Like that. Okay.
I feel like this is Streisand effect.
Well, I mean, it's not though, because they all kind of look the same.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean,
you mean the cars.
Yeah, the cars. Yeah, yeah. So you won't actually be able to tell.
Right.
Look, and that particular one that you saw there was this car that I want to focus on a little bit.
Okay.
And it's called the Xiaomi XU7. Okay. SU7. Xiaomi SU7, which is a horrendous knockoff of a Porsche Taycan. As you can see, I mean, you cannot refute that fact. If you look at these side by side, you've got
most
the Porsche.
Look nothing alike. Oh, wait, look at them overlaid on each other.
Yeah, you've got the Porsche, whatever you like to say, Taycan 4S, and then you've got the Xiaomi SU7. Mm. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is it really does make a lot of sense when you put it into the context of what's happening in Canada. So just bear with us for a minute here.
Did they call it the SU7 because Porsche sued them 7 times?
They should have. But I mean, come on, you can see everything from the little gaps at the front door there, you know, those air vent type things, you know, where it's the same car.
Yeah.
Now, that's the problem with China, is they can just copy anything and get away with it. Because if you try to sue them in China, you'll always lose. Mm. And very often the incentive is not to sue them, because then you'll lose the market.
Yeah.
And I think that's why specifically Chevy tried to sue them once. Mm. When QQ, Chery, by the way, which is just Chevy but with an R, Chery QQ made a copy of the Chevy Spark.
Yeah.
Okay, you remember the QQ? Yeah. It was wildly popular in China. It's the exact same car.
It's just the same car.
You can buy an actual Chevy door and it'll fit perfectly. All the parts are interchangeable.
Yeah.
So they tried to sue, but when they tried to sue, Chevy was threatened with being boycotted by the Chinese public. They were like, if you're going to attack our brands, we're not going to buy your brand. So Chevy backed off. And that's kind of the story that we see. And that's why this has happened. I'm pretty sure.
早上好,中国,现在我有冰淇淋,我很喜欢冰淇淋,但是速度与激情就。Sorry,
you know Germany and China at the moment. So here's that specific car. And we've been seeing it a lot. We've seen a lot of these reporters and automotive journalists cover this car, for instance.
早上好,中国,现在我有冰淇淋,我很喜欢冰淇淋,但是速度与激情就。刹住,一定要刹住,我走,我走,我走完了。
This is the same car. It had a brake failure. Okay, now the reason I'm talking about this is we've seen glowing reports from all of these, you know, high-profile automotive journalists, people that we trust.
Dozens of them.
I mean, Doug DeMiro is well-known. Mm. Everybody watches his stuff and various other people. And they get access to these cars and they do these reviews, and it's always a glowing review, and they never point out the shortcomings of these cars, right? Because, well, number one, they can't gain access to it because a lot of the shortcomings are hidden. The statistics that they're handed are coming from the Chinese government or from the Chinese company. It's always a skewed doctored statistic. So you can't really lay blame on them.
No.
But unfortunately, it's creating this false sense of security.
Yeah, I just want to say on this less so about the YouTubers, more about the blog, like automotive blogs. They always talk about Honda or Toyota or Chevy. And one of the common things they bring up is reliability.
Yes.
And safety.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to these Chinese cars, that's never in the conversation.
Never.
I find it very strange.
It's almost as if they mentioned any of the shortcomings, they wouldn't gain access to the cars to review in the future.
So it's like a hostage situation.
It's basically a hostage situation because that exact car actually finished dead last in the 2025 Q1 quality rating.
They're rating these things in China.
Yeah, this is the Chinese, actual Chinese government rating. Mm. So what they do is they have a system where, depending on the complaints, the consumer complaints and so on, they rank cars. This particular car that's been glazed everywhere ranked last. It is the worst. But you don't hear about that, do you?
You think that'd be part of the conversation. Yeah.
I mean, the reason I'm getting at this and why I'm trying to talk about this is Canada is now going to be importing, I think it's, as a start, 49,000 Chinese EVs. So the Canadian people are going to be like, oh, look, I watched this YouTuber, or I watched this, I read this blog, this automotive blog. This is such a fantastic car. It's amazing.
I see positive reviews for these things on my Google News feed.
Yeah.
And I'm using like an incognito tab so that I'm not getting fed certain things. That's how prolific this stuff is.
But, you know, they're not forewarned of the problems.
Yeah.
If Chevy has a recall or something, everybody hears about it. Mm-hmm. You know, if Tesla has a problem, everybody hears about it. These cars have a problem, nobody hears about it. You know, it's a dangerous precedent to set.
朋友是一个坚韧不拔的纪录片，在香港这座城市的摄制，主演钱德勒、索罗斯、傅国斯一。 瑞秋, Monica.
Again, you know, people that I trust and respect are reviewing this car. Mm-hmm. This is the exact same car that we've been seeing in the news. And on January 19th at an auto repair store, this is fairly new.
Yeah.
This is big. It just caught fire for no reason. And if you watched my channel, you'll know that Chinese EVs tend to self-immolate quite often.
Yeah, maybe it's in protest.
Yeah, maybe.
The government.
Yeah. Anyway, here's the thing. If you can delete the foreign influences and the foreign press that are glazing and really praising these Chinese EVs, specifically anything that's about to be sold in Canada and so on, you can see that the Chinese people themselves are not happy with these things.
Yes.
Okay. So this particular incident actually caused a bit of a phenomenon in China, a phenomenon where car repair shops and car washers are now refusing to service or even wash these Xiaomi cars.
Wow.
So multiple, these are all service, you know, service stations basically. And this one above us here is a car wash that has a sign saying they won't wash Xiaomi SU7s because let's face it, the Xiaomi SU7 is ranked last when it comes to quality. Even
according
though
the Chinese study.
Yes, according to China itself. Let's see if there's something more.
So Shanzai made here Wu Yong Lao Gang Ma. 在西凉花
Well, I mean, we all know that this, when iShow Speed went to China, one of the big highlights was he was basically taken around and used for advertising.
Yeah.
So he went to advertise every Chinese product you can think of that the Chinese government wants everyone to know about. This particular car was one of the things.
Yeah.
They had a big segment on it. You know what annoys me a little more than this stupid knockoff thief Porsche?
What?
A data broker app. Deep within the corporate offices of a data broker, something is happening behind closed doors. We feed right off them. The real of stalker. I be removing my. Maybe you are trying to find us to data broker. If you feature /, helps the link below. And now, off cheap, rubbish, copy Porsche. Unfortunately, this car has been embroiled in a lot of controversies, like, for instance, this, which happened late last year, where a driver crashed and the doors wouldn't open and he burned to death. Not the first time, by the way. This has happened before. And it was horrific. And if you've seen the footage, which we're not going to show, you actually had people trying to break into the car to get him out. Mm. They were trying to pull the door open. They were trying to break the window. They couldn't do it in time, you know, and it went up really quickly. So this is the actual owner of the Xiaomi company demonstrating how safe his doors are. But you know what? It looks like it's a handle that can be lifted up, but it can't.
Yeah.
It's actually just got two micro switches inside there. So it's fully electrical.
Oh.
It's not mechanical. There's no way to make it mechanical. You'll see here when he pulls it open. See, it's just those two little micro switches. Mm-hmm. So that little flap doesn't lift up at all. Mm. See, look, like
you it could, just looks like it.
Yeah, look, it looks like it, but it doesn't.
That's
so
scary.
It's incredibly unsafe. Again, this is that survey. Can you see they're all the way down at the bottom? You can see this. This is Xiaomi SU7 with 239. It's not even close. Like the garbage car that's above it is, you know, way better. It's pretty bad.
Wow.
So, I mean, we've seen big reviewers talking about how amazing this car is.
It's weird. You would think that a company that has zero expertise and experience making cars and only makes phones would be really good at making their first automobile.
Yeah. Which is Where a copy knockoff of a Porsche. From? Yeah, it's weird. But, you know, this is what I'm trying to get at is China, though, recognizes how bad these things are. Mm. As you can see, it's lowest on their quality rating. But not only that, I'll show you something else that China has done recently. So this was before the other incident where the guy burned to death. Mm-hmm. This is terrible. Three young students burned to death, right? Three young girls. They were traveling and they were using the self-driving feature.
Oh, no.
And it just crashed into a concrete barrier and they all burned to death as well, which is horrific. And the doors didn't open or anything like that, as usual. So, you know, these are certain things that I think you should not be omitting from your glazing review. Because this happened before most of those, in fact, before all of those people had their reviews. And then after the most recent one, oh yeah, sorry, this happened again in December. This Xiaomi SUV, SU7 you see coming out there in the dealership, ran over a dealership worker and actually, before it even left the dealership, seriously injured somebody. Okay, so it's not even on the road yet. The new owner was just about to like get on the road and ran over the employee at the dealership.
It wasn't the driver's fault?
That's undetermined. Mm. And they also don't have any updates on what happened to the guy, whether he like recovered or not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just one of those things. But as a result of the most recent incident where the guy burnt to death, China's now implementing from the 1st of 2027, all cars must have mechanical doors. You're not allowed to have those electric style doors anymore, which is good, but it shows you it was so bad. It's such a bad design that China actually had to put in legislation to change it.
Mm, yeah.
But we don't hear about that, do we?
Uh-uh. That's weird.
None of these big reviewers mentioned the fact that these cars have been trapping people inside, and it's such a big problem that not only did the China regulatory thing rank at the worst, but they also had to put in new legislation to prevent people from burning to death in their cars. You know?
Yeah, I find it very strange that automotive journalists and blogs do not talk about the poor quality of these cars when it's baked into the American psyche to read things like Consumer Reports that do like long-term reviews and reliability, and they factor all these really important things into your purchase-making decision, right? I don't understand why that's not part of the conversation anymore when it comes to Chinese cars.
Yeah, it's always excuses are made. You know what what really infuriates me is if you try to read any automotive blog, they'll say, China to ban Tesla-style doors in the 2027. And then if you read the article, it's due to Xiaomi's SU7's failures that burn people to
death. So they won't say Xiaomi-style doors.
No.
They'll say Tesla-style
doors. You know, there is a big difference, by the way, because the Tesla-style doors, although they're electric to pop out, once they popped out, that is a mechanical handle. You can actually pull it. You know, with the Xiaomi, there's no mechanical anything. It's literally just a button that you push under there. So it's very frustrating. Automotive press seems to defend Chinese EVs specifically for some unknown reason, but they seem to really try their best to downplay it. Anyway, I thought we'd have a little bit of fun here quickly as we've been talking about the serious stuff. Let's take a look at a little fun thing that they do in China. I think it's like a snow challenge.
Okay.
So what we've got is we've got a Tesla over here. Okay. And what they do is they see, can the car, you know,
that's pretty good,
make it up? And then it's just about having fun.
Yeah.
So you get the car in the bowl and you like swish around a little bit, see if you can get out. It's like a challenge.
I'd like to do that.
Yeah, it doesn't look like fun.
It does.
So let's see. What do you think? Do you think the Tesla is going to be able to make it out once it's down in the bottom?
I'm actually kind of impressed that it did pretty well there. Let's see.
Yeah. I mean, say what you want about Tesla. They are pretty well designed. Let me ask you this. If you were to do this challenge, what car would you do it in?
Like a G-Wagon.
Oh, Mr. Fancy Pants over here.
No, I'm not. That I'm not one that I own.
I understand.
You know, you mean a car I have?
Well, a car that, let's just say,
I have an affordable RAV4, so okay. I'll do it in that.
Yeah, that'd probably do really well. Yeah. No jokes. No jokes.
What about you?
Yeah, if I were to do this, wow, that'd be. If I wanted to have the most fun, I'd do it in an old muscle car.
You're just spinning around.
Yeah, I don't think I'd make it out.
My goal is to get out.
Yeah, sure. I think it'd just be fun. I mean, look at this guy spinning around. But yeah, let's see if he can make it out. He kind of came to a stop at the bottom. And now he's going to reverse.
Yeah, it's a better strategy here.
Yeah.
Come on, little Tesla. Let's do this.
Yes, you can do it.
Come on, we're rooting for you.
Oh, almost.
Oh, it's kind of like a half pipe.
This is really challenging.
It's car skateboarding.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's pretty impressive that it can do this, let's be honest.
Yay!
There it goes. Yeah, there we go. He made it. Now, let's bring in the thief Porsche. You know, the thief, stolen, knockoff, sure. Fake copy, garbage Porsche. Yeah, Porsche. Let's bring that in. Let's see how well it does. Do you think it'll do as well?
I'll reserve judgment.
Okay, let's take a look. Oh, made it up a fair amount on the other side. Okay, go, little, go, millet, go.
I'm not having high hopes for this one, if I'm honest. It's just kind of taking the wind out of my sails.
It's not doing very well, is it?
It's doing worse the longer it goes.
Yeah. Well, it had to be towed out.
Okay. Spoiler.
So it couldn't even make it up once.
I don't think that's going to do very well in Canada.
Exactly. I mean, that's partially why I'm showing this. And I'm not. I don't know if this particular one is going to be sold in Canada.
Okay.
But I'll tell you one thing. This is probably the most popular one that all of the, you know, the journalists love. Yeah. And
it's the hype car.
It's the hype car. It's a hype Chinese car. Is this one?
It's in even in Gran Turismo, right?
Yeah, it's going to be the first Chinese car in Gran Turismo 7.
When you start the first race, even if you get put against like little K cars or whatever, you still lose because it'll just catch on fire.
Yeah, dude, honestly, if Gran Turismo is like the real driving simulator, the wheels better fall off or something.
They better fall off.
Anyway, you know, one of the features that's built into a lot of the Chinese cars, and this car included, still the same car, is its self-parking feature.
Okay.
So you get out of the car and you like press a button and it parks.
This looks like a bad idea.
Yeah. So look, they get out the car. They're like, I got my fancy Chinese EV, that knockoff thief Porsche.
Stop.
Okay. All right. And they're like, I'm going to press a button and let's see what this fake attempt at a German copy looks like.
Oh, so there's no one in it.
No, it's doing itself parking right now. Yes. Again, where is this in all of these glowing reviews?
I mean, if I was, and I'm not, like an automotive journalist or YouTuber or TikToker, this is the kind of stuff you'd get more views. You'd be like, yo, check this out. This is hilarious,
yeah,
right? I'd be like, yo, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But like, look at this.
Yeah, for
Wouldn't
sure.
you show that?
Or if you're, a lot of them compare it because the price. They'll be like, this is cheaper than a Tesla Model 3.
So it's worth your
but
life?
But it's got more doodads inside
so
of it.
So what?
Yeah. But I mean, when you're doing that kind of comparison, it's like your moral obligation to also say it also has led to some pretty bad situations.
Even if you just say,
in
oh,
China.
You should look into it. You know,
yeah.
That kind
or
of...
there have been some safety concerns.
Yeah. Like,
you could say at least that,
right?
Like with the door handles,
yeah.
Little safety concerns. Also, its self-driving has led to some pretty bad accidents,
yeah.
You know, and some deaths, perhaps,
yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
Even just an inkling.
Yeah.
A
just
sprinkle. Go check it out for yourself.
Yeah. Don't be like, oh, this is amazing. You know, this is a copy of a Porsche, you know, that type of thing.
Certainly looks like one.
Yeah.
I don't think it drives like one, maybe not.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen multiple crashes. Now, look, this is a different brand, okay? I don't want to just harp on about the same one. Because, look, when Chinese cars enter your market, you have to be aware that you cannot trust the advertising. You cannot trust what's written on the box.
Mm.
What this NCA is, it's the self-driving feature of this particular car. And I believe this is a Huawei car. It could be mistaken, but it's one of the new fancy cars. Okay.
Okay.
So it's on the self-driving
phone
feature.
Brand.
You're not touching it.
Oh my God.
Wasn't injured. This is a Huawei car. After a year.
That's what I want to see in these reviews.
Yeah.
because my experience in China, decade, 14 years for you, is we drove dozens of Chinese cars.
Yep.
We worked next to dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
We saw how bad the quality was, especially when friends and family and stuff would buy one a year later.
Yes.
You owned a Chinese car.
I did. Terrible. You know?
Never mind long-term reliability. Yep. How about short-term reliability?
Yeah, look at all the leather cracking and so on and peeling off. And this is like a year old.
Make me allergic.
Yeah, bless you. Yeah, exactly.
I'm allergic to poor quality.
Yeah. Again, many, many, many Chinese products, whether it's electronics. Let me turn this down, is unnecessary. She's just complaining about it, obviously. Many Chinese products, whether it's electronics or, you know, anything you buy, furniture, things like that, they look great out the box. Okay.
For the
price. And then after a while, you think like, wow, I've got a real bargain. But after a while, it's out there on the curb being thrown away.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. You're right.
And it's the same with the cars. Now, I wanted to bring this into the real problem because this I've been talking about from a consumer point of view here, right? If you're a consumer and you're buying a Chinese car, you have to be aware that there are a couple of things you have to worry about. Number one, is the brand going to be around for long? We've seen a lot of Chinese cars, like fly-by-night brands, because they use the government subsidies. They get in there, they sell you a car, then they close doors, and then you can't get support, you can't get parts.
Yeah.
You've got a paperweight, you know? Because unfortunately, cars these days, these electric cars, are kind of like computers. They constantly need updates, over-the-air updates and so on. So when the company doesn't exist, you no longer get your updates.
Yeah.
You know, if you need your batteries replaced or something, you can no longer do it. It's just a terrible idea from that point of view. But also, they claim that it's got a certain amount of range, but in real world tests, it's always way worse.
Mm.
You know, we've always found out all of the specs that they claim don't work out. The quality is poor, even though it looks flashy and nice and so on. Own it for a while and you'll see. You know what I mean? So from a consumer point of view, I would advise against Chinese cars in general. Having owned one myself since 2010, I don't own it anymore, obviously, but I owned it for a long time. And just basic things you wouldn't think would go wrong went wrong. Like the shifter cable snapped. I've never had that happen in a car before. The rubber on the intake manifold cracked and perished without me even knowing, because you can't tell, right? It was sucking dirt into the thing. Just small things that you don't think would go wrong went wrong with that car. So from that point of view, but there's another more pressing thing, and that is the whole spying thing.
Mm.
You know that the Israeli Ministry of Defense has suspended the use of Chinese electric vehicles, particularly those made by BYD, due to serious cybersecurity concerns. Experts warned that the car's built-in communication systems and sensors could be used to spy on Israeli officers by collecting and transmitting sensitive data such as audio, video, geolocation, and biometric information to servers in China. And of course, it's not just the Israelis that should be worried. Everybody should be worried about this.
Yeah.
Even Chinese people should be worried about this.
Yeah.
Because all electric cars are like little surveillance tools. You know that China bans Teslas from parking near government buildings in China. They don't allow them because isn't that a big tell? It's a big tell because they know that's what they would do, right? So I wanted to move on from the whole Chinese car thing because I wanted that to be kind of a gateway into our discussion about how Canada has been taken advantage of by China, is making some big mistakes with regards to China.
Yeah, so just quickly to bring people back, just a modern history, actually.
Mm.
China kidnapped two Canadians.
We know one of them.
Yes. And they kidnapped them for a cell phone company as hostages.
Yep.
Right? They kidnapped sovereign citizens and held them indefinitely until they were rescued, basically.
Well, until the hostage situation worked.
As a bargaining chip. So that they could get back one of their important figures in Chinese business, Meng Wanzhou, right?
Who was a fraud and who was a thief and who was, you know, a criminal.
They then blocked imports of Canadian canola when Canada so as much complained, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And has used canola exports as a bargaining chip to continue to harass Canada. Those are the small things because Canadian intelligence reports have identified China as the top perpetrator of foreign interference in Canada. They meddled in elections.
Mm-hmm.
They're accused of meddling in elections in 2019 and 2021 in federal elections.
Sure.
Right. They had disinformation campaigns. They secretly funded different candidates. This is China funding a democratic nation's candidates, right? Sure. Interfering. Mm-hmm. The use of students as volunteers, mm-hmm. right? You had intimidation. There was a conservative MP, Michael Chong, and the Chinese officials targeted his family.
Yep.
To silence him. Mm-hmm. They've had clandestine police stations acting as elements of the Chinese government on Canadian soil in Toronto, Vancouver, and Montreal, and they use them to intimidate critics of the Chinese regime.
Sure.
And China has been cited for numerous state-sponsored cyber attacks and espionage activities aimed at stealing Canada's intellectual property and influencing government policy. And I'm going to round it out with this. China owes Canada $371 million in loans dating back several decades, and they're not even planning on repaying them until 2045.
Right.
This is a clear pattern of abuse.
Dude, I was in China during the golden age of taking advantage of Canada. And in specific, I can give one example is there was a girl that I was seeing, and she and her entire family moved to Canada, and everybody else that she knew that was connected and was rich was doing the same. And I remember that she did it and she didn't want to, and her family didn't like Canada. They actually hated being there. They hated living there, but they were doing it specifically to take advantage of the systems there. Mm. So they managed to go there and bring their entire family and all their extended family over there and get government subsidies, and she was telling me about how they were getting all these things for free and how they were able to, you know, really embed themselves in there and take advantage of all the systems. And somebody like myself, I hate that kind of thing. I hate when people take advantage, you know, like if I see someone taking food from the homeless people and they're not homeless, it like annoys me. And when you see those lines of like grannies taking all that stuff, it makes me mad.
And then reselling it in the next round.
Yeah, exactly. That really, really pisses me off. But there was like this whole movement of all the like upper middle class Chinese people all taking advantage and moving to Canada, buying up all the real estate as investments and ways to get their money out of China, driving up the real estate for all the local people in Canada to the point where like a shack costs $1 million. Literally, there's that website that we looked at. Remember, it's like mansion or crack house.
Yes,
it's, you know, like you're like, what is it?
In Vancouver. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's insane. And then, of course, all of the scams involved with money laundering through the casinos there. Remember, there was that whole thing in Macau where people could get this like life insurance or whatever it was. And then you pay. It was a way to get your money into Canada to buy the real estate there. And also people going to Canada, but they don't like living there. Mm-hmm. So they would use these agents that would basically walk in and clock in and pretend that they were there, you know, have their passports stamped or whatever while they went back to China. And then they would like get their permanent residence and become a citizen, even though they were never there. They were in China the whole time. There was that whole thing uncovered. And people that were taking money off, you know, for being poor in Canada, but then buying Mercedes-Benz cash and stuff, you know, that kind of thing. Huge amounts of scandals. So I've just seen China taking advantage of and slowly taking over Canada for the longest time.
Maliciously.
And I think it's a stupid move for Canada to be buddying up with China right now. Bringing in their surveillance, you know, EVs, which are junk anyway, and just forming this bond with your enemy, your actual enemy. And I get it right now between the United States and Canada. It's not all roses. It's pretty bad right now.
Okay? It's nowhere near what happened with China and Canada, though. It's insane.
Yeah, exactly. But the United States is as mad as you are at the United States, and I'm not American, so, you know, I can look at this from an outside perspective.
I'll keep out of it.
I mean, you can, I don't mind if you chime in. It's totally fine. The thing is, as mad as you are at the United States has not done anything near as bad as what China's done to you. And the United States has not come in and ruined your real estate market and scammed your systems and, you know, meddled in your elections and all that stuff like China has. So don't suddenly look at China as a better option than the United States. It's a worse option.
China will steamroll you.
They're going to just, they already have.
Yeah.
They've like 45% there. And if you allow them to get to that 51%, you're just going to become another Chinese like
vassal
province.
State, yeah.
That's it. So that's my message to Canadians out there is stay away from these Chinese EVs. I would boycott them if I were you, simply from a moral perspective, because you shouldn't allow your, whatever you call them, your prime minister or president or whatever he is to force these on the market, because it's going to mess up your own local car competition. Because one thing people don't realize about these Chinese EVs is that the Chinese government wants them to win. So they subsidize the hell out of them publicly and behind closed doors to make sure that they can make these things. They sell it at a loss. They don't care because they just want to push the competition out. You know, they want your industry to fail so that they can be the only ones.
Yeah.
So you're screwing over your own automotive industry and you're buying a crappy product that's not going to last. Don't do it, you know. And also tell your prime minister, government, whatever his name is. I don't even know his name. That guy.
Carney.
Yeah. he should work at a carnival. I was going to say, tell him to take a hike. All right. Yeah. Anyway, guys, thank you for watching. And this format, if you like this format, this is what we do every Friday on the China
Show. Yeah. Get okay. over there.
Yeah. I know it's different from the normal Serpents a Day video, but I wanted you guys to get a taste because every Friday we have fun. We talk about propaganda, the funny stuff, the serious stuff, everything in between. And we give you a weekly update of what's actually happening in China. So join us on the China Show. And if you have the means, please support our secret show as well, which is called Xiaban Ho.
Patreon.com/ADV podcast. Over 180 episodes there. It's the best way to support us. And you get a very special show.
All the links will be in the description down below. Anyway, thank you. Stay awesome.